Welcome to Watch What Croppens. It's me, Ronnie. I used to work at a site called TVgasm.com, and that is where I know Nads from. Nadine Rajabi ran the news and gossip side of that site. So funny, so sweet. We've been friends for a really long time. She's executive producer of Below Deck and has done an amazing job on the season, obviously, as we're all in love with it. Kate Chastain, so great as well. Go find her interview from a couple of weeks ago if you haven't heard it on this show. Really, really good. So, love these girls. It's not a traditional episode where we recap the reunion. We do talk about, I think, everything that happened or most of what happened on the season. But a lot of this is just asking about the inner workings of backstage, because I've been obsessed with that ever since watching that show Unreal on Lifetime. Love that show. If you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor. Waste 13 hours of your life. It's delicious. And it's all about the producers behind the scenes of a reality show and how dramatic and juicy it is and how they stab everybody in the back. And of course, that's Lifetime and this is Nadine. So I wanted to see how close shooting a reality show is to the reality of the drama about shooting a reality show. Isn't that meta, y'all? That's a running theme in this. Meta. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you to Nadine Rajabi, who is at Nadine Rajabi on Twitter. And thank you to Kate Chastain, who's at Kate Chastain on Twitter. I love you girls. I had so much fun talking to you. This is basically just a three-way talk on a Skype session, so it sounds a little weird at times. The quality's not perfect, and there's some kind of like tick-tick-tick-tick-tick sound. I don't even know where that's coming from, someone's phone or something. But we had fun. Have a great time listening to this very special episode of Watch What Crappens, Below Deck of Below Deck.
Watch what crappens. So much crappens.
This episode begins as most episodes do, with a lot of random noise in the background.
You might hear my dog barking, but it's fine.
Every podcast, there's a dog barking.
Yes.
Somebody's. Or a leaf blower.
I was about to say, I had a leaf blower last time, and I heard it back, and I was like, whoopsies.
Yeah.
But we do, too. Ben, no matter what time we record, the fucking leaf blower is always
it's
out there.
So good.
Leaf blowers happen every single day. I'm like, what are they blowing? I think it's a power trip. It is a power trip of these lawn people because they hate their job in real life. So they put on their headphones and they're like, right now I am ruining the lives of everyone around me because I can. They're not even blowing any. They're just blowing piles around.
they just blow concrete. That's nothing.
Yeah. It's a power trip, I'm convinced.
How about you get a vacuum instead of just blowing shit all over the place? You ever heard of a rake?
It's so good.
they overuse it. It doesn't take that long to blow. Trust me, I know.
It's like having a maid that walks through your house with a fan and just blows all the dirt off of everything. Like, it's just going to land on other things.
They're just moving it around.
All right, let's start for roll.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Nadine.
Hi.
Hi, Kate. I feel like I see Kate every day in the other
bed. Know. I'm so sorry. I feel bad for you.
You do a lot of the editing too, Nadine. Explain your job to me, because I was talking to someone this week about seeing the producers on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Uncensored and how it's so similar to the TV show on Lifetime Unscripted, which talks about, it's
Unreal.
About the producers. Oh, Unreal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's one of those things with that show, you're like, fuck, why didn't I think of that? That's genius, because it's always the show behind the show that's so much more dramatic. But I have to say, on Below Deck, it's probably the first show that it's been really smooth behind the scenes, and it's all the screen is on camera. So it's an interesting show, and it's actually my favorite show that I've ever worked on, because it's funny. And I love comedy, and it's really fast. It's so fast paced, and it's the most real thing because it's so fast. It's like literally Kate and like everyone on the boat, like they're doing their jobs, and our job is to not miss anything. So we'll have at any given time 3 to 4 cameras, on the boat. Plus they have surveillance rigged up. And in my mind, because I've been on the other side of the camera, and I'm like, I think I'd go crazy if I had a camera following me 24 hours a day, because we are shooting literally, I think it's 22 hours a day, sometimes 20 hours a day. And then there's 4 hours where it's a lot of surveillance. And then there's another person there with a camera in case something happens. So,
oh my god,
they have
so
no
who
privacy.
Takes care of yeah. all that footage, Nadine? Like, do the loggers? Is that what you call them? Sorry, loggers. If that's what you're
no,
called.
No, well, we have yeah. So they, you know, we get all the footage, and it's. I would say it's funny when they first did the show with Bravo, and I didn't start off with the show. I was doing other series. I think that everyone was like, wait, why is there so much footage? They didn't understand, and it wasn't until this past year. Where we're like, we watch 140 hours of footage for every episode because it's all raw footage. So what we do is we take over one of the rooms on the boat, and that's where we could see everything that's being shot and kind of on surveillance. And we have story people that are literally they have an earpiece in watching what's happening. And then there's another story person. So each story person takes almost like a cast member or like a mic, and they'll go, okay, I'll follow Kate. And I wasn't in the field for Below Deck 3. I was in the field for the spinoff, but I was in charge of post and they had a story for Below Deck 3. But what they'll do is like they'll say, "I'll take Kate, you take Amy," because Amy's on the sky deck and Kate's in the galley, and so they're listening to conversations, and they're literally these poor people are taking notes like from start to finish. They don't stop, and then there'll be some asshole like me going, "What did they just say? What's happening? Oh my god, send a camera there." Oh my God, Kate and Leon are fighting again. Send a camera there. And it's chaos in the
control. Oh my God, so you're that head bitch in charge of all the TVs on that Lifetime show?
Well, there's the director, and then I sit next to the director. His name's Laurent. He's a daytime director, and then there's a nighttime one. For Kate's season, it was this guy German who I didn't work with. We had somebody else for our spinoff. But all I do is scream in his ear and annoy him. And Laurent is the calmest little French man. So sweet, so like wants to get a beautiful shot, but it's also impossible to get a beautiful shot when you're running, following people fighting or a drink spilled or a grenadine oyster or somebody barfing or it's really crazy the way the show is, because it's not only a house show where you're almost basically everyone's basically in one concentrated space, but it's a docu. So you're following these people's lives, their arcs, and then you've got a new, you know, a set of charter guests that come on every week, and you're following their story, and they're kind of treated in the story sense as a separate guest, because every charter guest has a story. Somebody might be like, there's Dean was a repeat guest, you know, from Kate, and there was an evolution of, you know, it. Kate,
oh yes, I know, because Dean gave Kate that smile that I'll never forget. I think it's burned on my plasma. I told Kate the first time she was on here, I was like, don't smile like that. I don't like, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, I need you to not be the one smiling, okay?
It was so, I mean, it's so good.
So
and
pretty.
Like, you know, as far as, you know, there was the people that you know, that, oh God, Alan Jr. and Alan Sr. who had the 50th birthday where Rocky jumped off the boat. Like, it's like, okay, we don't know as producers. The only thing we're given is we're giving a preference sheet from the charter broker, right? And it says, this is what these guys want. There's, you know, they're celebrating their 50th birthday. And like, production knows as much as like cast knows. So like Kate and I will get the same sheet. So there's nothing produced in advance. And so it's Kate's job, and Kate can take it from here. Actually, when you get that preference sheet, like you've got to like basically hustle, right?
Yeah. You're just faking it till you make it, and you eventually get to know them. But unfortunately you get to know them the day they're leaving.
yeah.
And I have to say, I saw the space that the production had to live in for those 6 weeks we were filming. It's not large. It's a lot of people in a small room. So to be a fly on that wall, it would really be entertaining.
I can't believe you guys are all actually on the boat. How many of you are there, Nadine? And I'm not including, well, I guess you would include everybody, like the lighting guys, everybody, right?
Well, we have shifts. So we have a morning crew that starts at either 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., sometimes 7 a.m., depending on, you know, what time they ended the night before. They stay on for 12 hours. And then I, like, usually the executive producer comes on. They call it mid-shift, which covers half of the morning and half of night. And then, so when and I come on around 11. And so when morning shift ends at 5, so I basically come on the boat. They give me a download of what happened in the morning. And then I'm there overseeing that morning crew. And then night crew comes on around 4 or 5 o'clock. And then there's a quick story meeting of, here's what happened in the morning, here's what happened in the afternoon. Because they get on with a water taxi, basically. And so when they get on with the water taxi, they literally have 10 minutes to do a download of, you know, Kate and Leon got in a fight. Eddie and Rocky, like, weren't talking because, you know, she jumped off the boat and he's pissed off at her. And Then there's this quick exchange. They're off the boat. I stay on, and I'm usually there from 11 to 11. If shit's hitting the fan, then I'll stay on until the night shift ends at like 4 a.m., but which those nights are crazy, but and hopefully.
So that was your Dane night. I can just imagine you sitting down there with everybody laughing your ass off as Dane gets more and more wasted.
But here's the thing with, I think with the Caribbean season with, and I was not in the field for this. I mean, from what I heard, Kate, you guys actually went to bed, like in the Med with the franchise, which they've announced, but we can't talk about who's on it yet. Those guys stayed up all night. So it was because they're.
Yeah. I kind of heard a few stories. Sounds like they had fun.
Yeah. I was like, do these people ever sleep? Like,
oh, the crew or the cast?
Cast.
That's so amazing.
Because all we ask you do is put them to bed, so like we chill for a minute. Because we're on high alert 24. Like we're what's happening? What's going on?
But they were all partying the whole time.
Yeah.
See, there you go, you guys. It had to happen. Bueller, stop. Hey, really,
you guys went to bed, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we stayed up some nights, but nothing too crazy happened after hours. Now, I have a question. From all the reality shows you've worked on, does Below Deck, like, is it extra difficult because you guys are tendering off and on? It must be so much more difficult for y'all.
Yes, it is. Because on other shows, if you're just doing a docu, or let's just say, if it's a competition show and it's moving around, you know, you've got location to location. On a regular docu, we're like, okay, we're going to follow, I don't know, like, you know, these three people shooting three scenes, and you're just driving to these things. You shoot for 2 or 3 hours. If it's a party scene, you're shooting there all night, and you have both crews there. With Below Deck, like, I wake up, I've got to make it to, like, I I'm always running late. I'm on Persian time all the time. So, like, I can't be late because the water taxi leaves without me and goes out to the middle of the ocean, and I'm screwed if I miss that water taxi. Or they have to wait for me because I'm the executive producer, and then I'm the asshole that made everyone late. So
sometimes the weather isn't even that good. Like, I literally felt so bad for seeing the crews arrive, like, damp. They had to go through rain, wind. That's your morning commute or your commute afterwards. It's horrible. It's
brutal. Exactly. And especially at night at 4 a.m. when you're coming back and the water is not – like, it's not like you need to get in a car. It's like – you're out there in the middle of the ocean and you're getting rained on. It's freezing. It's choppy. I mean, it's gnarly. We had one in the Med, one of my producers, my co-EP, she's like, Nadine, I threw up 7 times because she was so seasick. And she's like, I don't normally get seasick. She threw up 7 times. I'm like, how does somebody even throw up 7 times? Like, how do you have that much food in your stomach to throw up 7 times? But the Med is extra choppy, but I know that Kate's season had they did not have good weather, and there was always wind, and it was like we were shooting so many things when we were editing. We're like, oh my God, it's raining again. And so, like, part of our job in edit, because on TV you can't really see, okay, these guys are boned because of weather. Like, when the Housewives came on, they had to stay on the boat and they couldn't leave because of weather. But, like, if you're watching it, you don't really get that same effect until we're showing you shots of, look how rainy it is outside or windy it is outside.
Well, also, it's just the sheer amount of time. I mean, when you're stuck in a room with Cynthia Bailey alone, and just like a group of people staring at their Instagrams, I mean, you guys, that's rough. I didn't feel bad for the Housewives. I definitely felt for the team on that one.
No,
I mean,
what were you guys logging?
Right, because you guys didn't have to work as hard, right, Kate?
Well, if it had been any other group of guests, it would have been awful. But these women were just so content to chill out and check their Instagrams and Twitters that it was the perfect match, weather and guest.
So good.
What if there's a reality store, like a reality show in the Lazy Boys? Like, look at people just laying there reading their phones. We'd probably watch that shit.
It's called the People's Couch.
Exactly.
Well, they at least make comments.
Oh man, they're funny. They're so funny.
So good.
They are so funny. I saw you tweeting at them. Did they say anything back to you? Because you should definitely be sitting there.
Oh yeah. Scott Nevins and Emerson Collins and
The Boys. Brandt.
The boys, and then also the girls that are hilarious.
Those girls are hilarious. They have their own Bravo show now.
The spiky-haired lesbian girl with another girl.
Yeah, don't they have
Chihuahua?
They do the Vanderpump after show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. They deserve it. They're hilarious.
They are so funny. Someone posted a clip of them, because I don't watch People's Couch. I've only watched it a couple times, and I really like it, but I just watch other stuff. Anyway, who cares about this? Go on that show. Do it.
She would be amazing. And
it'd be so fun.
What was interesting to me, and I don't think that you guys covered this. I mean, you guys covered how Kate got on the show. Kate's a phenomenal writer, and I'm not just saying that to somebody that I work with. I'm like, I mean, Kate, the reason I started doing the show is second season, there was a marathon, and the first season they tried to get me on because there was some stuff that was going on at edit and I was busy and I couldn't do it. They didn't reach out to me second season. I was on another show and they had it going. It was smooth. And then I caught up with a second season marathon and I was like, oh my God, Kate is so funny. This show is so funny. And it was rocket ship where I was like, I've got to do the show. So then I reached out to one of my execs because I've been working with Bravo for what, six, seven years now. And I'm like, hey, I said, what's going on with Below Deck? And they said, why do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, are you kidding me? And they're like, it's yours. I was like, come on. They're like, no. I'm like, holy shit. That'd be my dream because it's comedy. It's on a boat. It's active. It's not people just sitting around. Listen, I love a show that has girls sitting around drinking a latte and talking drama. But like, I've had enough of that for a little bit. So it was such a nice change up for me because I was kind of at that point where I'm like, am I going to take time off just for my stand up or am I going to do this? And so
how many shows have you been executive producer on?
I start off as a supervising producer and then I work my way up onto executive producer. I think I've done 11 Bravo shows.
Oh 10 or my 11. God. I know.
It's a lot. And then I've done a lot of after shows for them, which was a whole other thing, but.
Oh yeah, you were doing the interviews in the bathtub.
Yes, and then I did another after show for them. I try to convince them to do it in the bathtub again. They're like, no, we want to make us more straightforward. I'm like, you guys, the bathtub is funny. So I actually pitched it for Below Deck next season, and I was like, we could do it in the water taxi. And they're like, okay, Nadine. And I'm like, no, it'd be amazing. I go, how funny would Kate and I be? And they're like, yes, it would be funny. So they're talking about it.
When do we get a Nadine show? Is that something you would ever do?
Oh, my God. Reality or talk show? I would do a talk show.
You know, like a loosely scripted, a talk show.
I would
love anything.
That would be my dream. That was what I wanted to do when I was 8 years old. And that's still, the dream's still alive.
Yeah, keep that dream alive. I think it's very realistic and attainable, hopefully, in the near future.
Well, you guys are always thinking of new reality shows, and I'm not even making a joke that it might be good to have a crew following around a crew following around the people.
The show is hysterical. That show would be
because Unreal is such a good show. So I don't know how you could do that if that's too meta or what. But
it is very meta because already Below Deck is like a reality show about behind the scenes. So now we're like going behind the scenes of the behind the scenes.
Well, now we're about to talk about the reunion. We're a show talking about a reunion, which was a show talking about a show.
What a show.
Like, meta got deep, guys.
Wow.
So
as they would say on Below Deck, that's deep.
Where's my totem?
Let's move on to the actual reunion. Wait, what'd you say? Because I'm an over-talker. What'd you say, girl?
Kate can take it from here at the reunion. I mean, there's a lot that happened. There's a lot I couldn't put in and edit because, I mean, Kate, you guys shot for over 4 hours. Like, I
think shot for like hours. 8 hours six hours.
Yeah.
Felt like 12.
Well, some of the housewife shows, they'll fall asleep on the couch or, Ramona fell asleep one time or they just get so mad that they start going apeshit because they're there sometimes. Some of them said, like, we've been here 18 hours. What's the longest one, Nadine, that you've heard? Because you've got a lot of friends who work on those.
I've heard it's been clear over 12 hours. But here's what I have to say about those housewives. And sorry, housewives is not a dig. Try being on Below Deck, like a cast member, because they are working they have cameras on them 24 hours a day. Like, that's their life every day for 6 weeks.
I put stickers on nail polish. Don't say I don't wear it, bitch.
Gretchen, it's like the housewives. They just put stickers on things.
Yeah. Kate, what do you think about that hat being followed 24 hours a day? Like, does that get crazy?
Yeah, I think if we had the luxury of having a little bit of off-camera time, certainly I think my hair would look better more often. But also I think it adds to the drama of the show and why it's so popular because it makes us crack faster.
Yeah, it's pressure cooker.
Oh, you've got to be going crazy. When they were showing that clips in the reunion of the fire and everybody is running around and the camera guys are right there and you're just trying to get them the hell out of the way. I love that. God. It's a fire God. And they're standing in your way. Like, sorry, I had to get close there.
I think that's a good thing to talk about right there is the fire and the reunion.
Yeah.
Well, let's start at the very beginning.
Because
a lot happened.
Very good place to start.
Yes, Miss Sound of Music. Thank you. Thank you for a musical that made me nice and calm at the very beginning. Like a musical, it should always start with a song.
The hills are alive with the sound of assholes.
The first thing I wrote down happens way later in the show, but I had to write down, when you get caught with your tit in a ringer.
My favorite Captain Lee-ism of all time. It was just so out of left field and so great.
So funny.
What does that mean? What's a ringer? Do I want my tit in it? Maybe.
A ringer, I think, is, we wouldn't know because it's old-fashioned, because it's mops.
Oh.
What is it?
Mops.
A ringer. Oh, right.
Like a leaf blower used to be a what?
How would you get your tit caught on that? I mean, I'm a maid on a boat, and if I had a ringer, I just can't imagine a circumstance professionally. You know, but maybe in the laundry room.
Wrong profession. Or if you're a nursemaid or something, because it makes me think of putting your tit in the mop bucket thing that you squeeze. So maybe they do it with cows.
Like you're making pasta or Play-Doh Fun Factory. Remember you'd put in.
Yes, and you'd leave with rocks and socks.
I'm a solid A cup, so I don't think my tits are going to be falling into any ringers.
Okay, look, just because I'm hosting something with Bravo people, I have to be the Andy and say, let's talk about your boobs. Which, yeah, they're real. I mean, what the hell? So I have to say, this, it makes me crazy every time he does it. And the only reason I'm doing it and being a hypocrite is because the first thing I noticed, I was like, it is so nice to not see fake tits up to people's nose. Because every other reunion I watch is a housewife reunion, and their boobs are seriously suffocating them.
And yeah, it's hard to actually watch. Ace bandaged mine down just to be contrarian. You know, I kind of have to wonder if Captain Lee had been talking down to Eddie, would he have said get caught with your dick in the ringer? Because that's something I could imagine happening. Maybe it's lower.
Yes, it just hangs down. It just
It's there. Flops.
Uh-huh. Mia would be like, "I've done it before. Yeah. I tried to date that ringer." It led me on by squeezing my dick.
I was gonna say something, but I have to be impartial. I was gonna make a joke about Eddie's dick in the ringer, but I can't say it. I'm gonna be like,
Emil's like, I put my dick in the ringer 6 times last night.
Anybody know why the ringer's tired? Anybody? I don't even know what that saying means, but it's forever going to be the captain's penis in a ringer. Okay,
his sayings are amazing. I mean, they really are. He has the best. So
we'll get to that because there's a whole segment of his sayings, and then he goes off at one point. Well, he goes off, I think, at 3 points during this. I just want the captain to be the new, I mean, no offense, Andy, but I want him to be the Andy for every reunion because having the captain on a Housewives show would be
hilarious.
Did you have cancer? Did you not have? Well, you don't say you have cancer. To me, you're full of crap. What do you say about that, Missy?
Right.
And they'd all answer.
It's like a captain word of the day calendar or phrase of the day calendar. And it's January 1st, tit in the ringer. Use in this situation. January 2nd, drag your dick through 10 miles of broken whiskey bottles.
He should do his own Urban Dictionary.
Calendar. Yeah, man. Okay.
Wednesday has been a rigmarole of flying dicks in a circle.
Yeah. Okay, and then we can have an Amy one where they're all wrong.
Wrong.
I know Nadine does a show on MTV, an improv show, and they have rap battles. What, haven't you done that? Have you done that show, Nadine?
It was a long time ago, yes. Years and years ago.
I remember random things, I'm sorry. But it would be amazing to have a rap battle, but just sayings between the captain and Amy.
Right.
You're emptier than a woman in a maternity ward the day after.
It's amazing.
You know, my favorite was when you guys last week said, Amy gets everything wrong. Welcome, Felicia. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Felicia.
I love Amy. A general Amy comment for this, if she was... You guys, my mic is falling all over. Sorry. She was so, serious and calm. What the hell? Is she always like that? Is she only so energetic in my brain? Because I was expecting her to be like, hi, guys! And she was like, hello.
I think that when she's not working, she's putting on a happy face for guests. But it was a stressful season, and I think she knew it was about to get kind of combative. So she was had her war face, game face on.
Well, she had a beautiful, she looked beautiful.
She looked stunning, yeah.
Oh my God, when it opened and her legs were like perfectly crossed in her ball gown, I was like, now that's a housewife right there.
Yeah, that's that pageant Texas girl we love.
But right. She had such a serious thing. It was like a darker vibe for Amy. And I thought maybe this is going to be like Breaking Bad, where it starts with Amy like, hi, everybody. And by the end, she's like chopping heads off and like, you know, throwing them overboard and stuff.
Like she finally reached her point where she couldn't fake happy and just melted down.
She broke. The mask came off.
Well, the funniest thing is her big, like, aggressive moment was like, oh, well, her salad was good.
Right.
Like, that was as diggy as she could get.
That was so
funny. You mean
funny.
The leaves that she pulled out of a bag and put in a bowl?
Well, it was so funny because they were like, well, what about the raw chicken, Rocky? And she's like, yeah, well, I mean, I had 45 minutes here. Like, the chicken sushi? Okay, that was mean. Like, right. What? Sushi's healthy. What did I say? People love sushi. What the hell?
I thought that's what you're going for. My bad.
Every other question of this reunion was to Rocky. I mean, they would be like, so, let's talk about the anchor. Rocky, what did you think about the anchor? It's like, oh my God, every other thing they kept coming back to Rocky. So I'm just setting that up now because people are going to be like, why do you keep talking about Rocky? Because it was talked about the whole time. That's the rules, guys. Okay, so Captain Lee. Oh, Emil in his grandpa's suit. That was the cutest thing ever.
Yes, it was.
Also, he has a huge grandpa. Oh my God.
He was mouthier than he was. Like he was pretty mouthy this reunion, and he was
like the Rain Man.
Right. Yes.
He would go into like these super articulate, eloquent thoughts, and then go talk about farting and masturbation. It was like he would go in and out of Rain Man, genius, and then just back to total, you know, talky young guy.
It's exactly what I watched it because I wasn't at the reunion with them. I was just I was doing the edit, and I was like, whoa, Emil, he's a lot smarter than I thought. And then I would just laugh. I was like, wow, he sounds really articulate. I was really proud of him.
Yeah. There was like glimmers.
Yeah.
There were. I think he would remember what he was going to say kind of late. You know, like he'd do, if I ever do that, I'll just stutter and kind of blah, 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 which I'm sure you both already know. And then it'll come to me and I'll get it out really quick. I'll remember. And you can see that little light turn on behind his eyes where he's like, I'll remember what I was going to say. It was wrong of you to lead me on. Because before, he's just like, well, I was shocked. I was surprised. And then I thought, whoa, because I was shocked. And then I thought, whoa. And Amy's like, yeah, and also, it probably hurt his feelings because that wasn't nice to just run to another man. He's like, oh, yes, you hurt my feelings. It would have been nice if you didn't. I was like, oh, suddenly you're in like a, I was going to say a Jane Campion movie, but that's the gorilla lady, right?
No, that's Jane Goodall.
Yes.
Oh, Jane Goodall.
Which is probably what Nadine feels like watching our footage. She's like observing this rare species of wild animal.
She's living in an odd-grown together hut underwater, just watching the wildlife.
You know, when we get bored and edit, and this is not we actually don't do it with Kate, but sometimes the funnier characters will, we do castioki, so we'll basically talk in their voice and their characters. And so we did a lot of Emil. We would do Amy a lot, and we loved how she said Emil. She would say Emil.
Yeah,
she did on the reunion too. The thing about Emil is like it's been 9 months.
I know. We would die. We're like, oh, Amy.
She probably thinks that she's the only one giving him the respect enough to pronounce it properly. She's like, he says it Emil because he has an accent.
Right in her mind.
Talk back to him like that.
She's saying it right.
Okay, let me see. I took so many notes on this. I just kept talking about Rayman. I just kept it typing. So now I'm just reading a book about Rocky looking up at the air. Okay, so shit hit the fan in this right at the beginning. I think just because everyone was ready to be asked things. And so the answers were so defensive. I mean, I'm talking about Rocky. I'm just trying to be fair. But it got so defensive so fast. He's like, so Rocky, Mary and Bethesda Derelint wants to know, why do you keep looking at the ceiling when you talk? She's like, because like butterflies, maybe there's butterflies.
And Kate's a bitch.
Kate's a bitch.
Like she came out hot.
She came ready to go. And no one laughed or anything. And then people just kind of repeated what she said. And Eddie was like, oh, butterflies, huh?
Yeah, butterflies, what do you think? That was like when everybody treats like shit. See, butterflies.
Whoa.
Well, it's interesting because clearly that was like a main social media question, like the biggest question. So she had to know it was going to be asked. And that was the best premeditated answer she could come up with.
Butterflies.
Yeah, sparkly butterflies.
I think that she was just trying to be fun and light, but her tone was so defensive that it just comes off as awkward. So does she have like any friends among the cast and crew? Like when you guys aren't talking, you know, when you guys aren't shooting, is anybody hanging out with her? Is she a part of the group or how does that work?
No. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I mean, we all got asked, you know, who we keep in touch with on Bravo.com. And she gave this long-winded answer and then later said that they were all lies, or she called them jokes.
But I couldn't tell when I read that because that was a big thing. Like, yeah, that was spread all over. And for those of you who haven't read it, everybody did a Where Are They Now type article on Bravo where they just said what they're doing. And of course, Kate's has written like, and then I was on a, yeah, I'm beautifully written, just talking about your life, you know? And then it gets to her and she's like, well, I was in an ashram in India. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm too good at this. I was like, maybe I'll be a scuba diver. And then I jumped out of planes. And then I was in a circus. And then we did all this stuff. It was like 10 jobs. And she's back on a yacht now. But I thought I couldn't tell if she was being funny or not, honestly.
She's sensational in everything she does. So nobody really hangs out with her in reality. I think that she did come to Lauderdale and hang out with Emil. And meanwhile, Emil is Facebook messaging me, I am so sorry. She is so annoying. And like,
what do you think that is? Do you think that he just does that so he can stay in your good graces? Or do you think that he does that as far as, you know, like he really does enjoy hanging out with her and he just doesn't want to be, you know, on the out of the other side?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Emil really does have a kind, naive sweetheart and he wants to be friends with everybody. But I think at that moment, she was being overbearing and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And like he has apologized to me, but at the same time, he didn't really stick up for me too much at the reunion. So I think he's just trying to keep it real even towards safe. Everyone.
Yeah. Well, honestly, as someone who just loves to watch fights and talk shit about them for hours, I don't think you needed anybody to stick up for you because her attacks are so oddly just kind of complaining about work. That's what I love this show because it's so different. Like when you told her, it's not personal, it's work. Like this is work. Because every time they'll say something like, well, you didn't do anything right and you didn't do your job. And then when you're called out on it, you still won't do it. And she's like, but like, that's mean. Like everybody's mean to me. And you're like, it's not about being mean. It's just, I'm just telling you to do your job. You know, that was mean. And it's kind of what I love about it. Cause it's really not a personal.
And actually after being called like bitchy after my first season, I was overextending myself, trying to be nice, thinking to myself, I'm not going to let this crazy pants make me look bad. So it was kind of frustrating that she still did when I went out of my way to be extra nice and she didn't deserve it.
Well, you guys have been, have you guys gotten in many Twitter spats? Because I'm not like huge, I don't go on Twitter that much, but of course people post stuff. And so,
well, you know, for me, Twitter is just really fun. It's like word Sudoku. It's like, how can you make a joke and put it in 140 characters?
Yeah.
And I'm never, you know, it's just, I like writing little puns. I like words and I like being funny and nothing I said about her was too malicious and it was all definitely true, which I think makes it funnier, but I don't think she appreciated it. So I'm sure there were some tweets and some articles about that. It was a feud.
What was she writing to you? Cause Andy read some of yours, during the reunion.
Oh my God, I almost shit myself when she was like, what about the mean tweets? I was like, I will stand behind any tweet I wrote. And then Andy's like, well, we've got some right here. Let's read them off. I was like, oh, okay. Because out of context, like I would do live tweeting during the show. And there was one where I was like, you know, I see why Rocky and Leon are friends. They're both bunny boilers. It's because Leon had made rabbit for dinner that night. So that it was kind of like it went with the show, but it's not necessarily something I would just write out of thin air. So, but I still stand behind
that girl sure is treading water and she's like swimming in the water. People are like, how could you say that?
He also made it when he was actually told not to make it. And listen, I'm supposed to be impartial, but that's the truth. So that's not be judgmental.
And you know what? I'm really glad that the one about, I said, I was so surprised when I saw Rocky's mermaid tail because she doesn't strike me as someone who likes to keep her legs together. Now, I think that's funny because it's like more saying how mermaid tails keep your legs together. I wasn't necessarily implying anything else.
Oh, whatever, liar. I mean, look, I mean, of course you're saying she's kind of a hoe, but it's, I mean, it is funny, but
I was going for the joke, really.
I don't know. I guess I'm used to on Housewives, they'll like try and ruin each other's lives, okay? Like,
they sue each other over Twitter, and these are like, these are just, you know, people are getting upset about jokes.
They will literally like plant things and call the boss and talk about someone's husband cheating. I mean, they get really, really mean. So, I mean, I don't see something wrong with making a hoe joke. Especially when you're, you know, sleeping or flirting, hitting on all the guys. Because that's when that came up in the show.
Here's another thing in my defense. Sorry to interrupt. But, you know, I don't have that many Twitter followers. And the things Rocky said about me, we had, what, 2.3 million
I'm sorry,
viewers?
My menial Twitter following. That was so funny.
Which some people that follow me on Twitter are like, so you're calling me menial? I was like, no. But I'm just saying, like, in comparison, I feel like
Rocky, to the grand scheme of right.
Yeah, in the big picture. Rocky,
it's not like Obama slut-shaming somebody on Twitter.
Yeah, she had a larger audience and said worse things, so I don't really feel bad.
Well, yeah, that's what my question is, because it's not a loaded question because I don't really read Twitter. I don't understand how to follow the chains. I'm like too stupid for Twitter. So I just didn't know if she had tweeted you stuff too, because I just noticed that he talked about yours, but then he didn't say any of hers. And I thought, well, she's got to have some.
You know, Twitter is really good for people who enjoy words and string together sentences. Hers are more like dancing Snapchats.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, there's always a GIF where you could just like flip somebody off or be like, you know.
You mean?
Okay, so, yeah, so anyway, sometimes I walk away with the villain or that character on a show where I'm mad. Like, I'll be so, so angry, but I guess I've told you this before. With her, I don't really get mad. It just seems like she's just kind of a kid, you know? And I just pat her on the head, and I'm like, you're an idiot. Now please be quiet until you're in a better mood, and then we'll go get ice cream. You know? That'll be great.
Yeah, you can't get too mad at something like a child because you just realize they're not capable of anything else. But it certainly was difficult in a work environment.
You went through a couple of moments where, first of all, you'll do the finger talk, like you're like, here's my point, and you'll like do the finger circle and then stop it in their face. Love that.
That's how I'm upset. I do it in real life. I'm like, yes. Oh God, put it away.
Oh, it's like, here it comes. Oh, the finger circle. I cannot speak today. What the hell? The finger circle's coming. I love that. And then at one point you put up both of your hands to the face and you were like, you just need to stop talking. And I made a GIF of it for you to use in all your texts because I know you're a GIF lover as well.
I love GIFs. I didn't know I was such a gesticulator. I am like crazy hands sometimes. I had no idea. It's really interesting.
No, it's not crazy hands. The reason I notice it is because I do it a lot. And when I catch my hands will come up on camera, but I have like humongous hands, like seriously huge hands. That's neat. My hands on my feet.
Yes.
Oh. So people will literally tell me if I ever do something on camera, they're like, don't lift your hands because it ruins the whole thing. You know, it's just distracting. It's like a little baby head coming
up. Your hands, like, they have photobomb every picture.
Right. Yes. So whenever I see somebody using their hands like to make a point, I'm like, I'm so jealous of you, Kate Chastain.
Oh, yeah, gesticulation envy. I got it.
Yeah, but I'm making you some gifts. I'm making you a gift package for Thanksgiving. You better use them.
Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Do you have tons of gifts already? Do you have like a lot online?
I have a few, and it's the first time I ever saw one last season. I was like, "Aw, this must be what it's like to see your first child. It's like a little tiny version of yourself."
It's the new New York Times. I've been gifted.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going through my notes. What was the big ish here? The big fight here was the fire. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just get into the fire, guys. It was kind of the same thing we had heard on the show. The way that you explained it Kate was hilarious because you're like, look, you don't know how to turn on a DVD player and I don't know how to make popcorn. So I was like, let's trade. You make the popcorn and I'll do the DVD player. And I thought that was so funny. It's like,
well, trading. It's how it happened.
I know, but it's trading the silliest jobs to get in a fight over or to start a fire over, you know?
Well, I'll start a DVD player. That I started the DVD player. They're watching a movie and I came down and everything was on fire. It's like I leave you alone for 7 minutes.
Let the record show that the people watching the TV did not all start on fire.
We're not bursting in flames.
Did you freak out, Kate? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but like, have you ever had a fire on a boat?
No, I've never. I've been trained actually, and I know it does not look like this in the footage. I've gone to fire safety yacht school twice. And I've had to wear the suit and actually fight the fire. And it's horrible and difficult. But I've never had one on a boat. So I really kind of was overwhelmed. And then I remembered, the one thing I remembered from fire school was you can't use certain extinguishers on certain kind of fires. It'll make it worse.
Really?
So my big fear was that I was going to use an extinguisher and make and explode the boat.
Of course they make freaking different kinds of fire extinguishers to get. Come on, guys. Make it easy.
Right? Oh. And then I didn't even know where the fire extinguishers were. I panicked completely.
I freaked out watching all that stuff. Sorry, Ronnie, I didn't mean to step on you, but watching all that raw footage of how everything went down, and my whole, like the whole time I'm like, what are the guests doing? What the fuck is going on? Like I was so, it was as if it was right there. And I was like, I was just thinking of like Kate. I was thinking of Eddie. I was thinking of Rocky, of like the amount of panic, because it's not like you're just in a kitchen at your house where there's maybe a grease fire. You're on a floating vessel, so you can't just run out in the street if it catches on fire. Like the whole thing could go in flames. That's
flammable, but fiberglass. And also it was kind of an imperfect, perfect storm of conditions because, you know, the popcorn burned. So I think we would have noticed, or I can't smell, but I think they would have noticed the fire in the oven sooner because they would have smelled it, but that they assumed it was from the popcorn. So it probably went on longer than it should have.
Oh, so they just thought it was probably
from the microwave, but then there's also smoke from the oven that you didn't notice because you thought it was just from the microwave.
Oh, Captain put it perfectly. It was oil. Period.
You know, the big thing we were trying to figure out is like, you know, Leon was trying to, and this is just from the producer standpoint because we're just watching it happen. Is like, and Kate, you watched it afterwards because you're obviously not there when Lee's talking to Leon. It's like he was trying to pin it on you by saying you're drinking. It's like, well, that's not how a fire happens. And it was just him trying to throw you under the bus. And I, you know, it's like, you know, you weren't drinking, but let's just say you were. It that doesn't start a fire.
Well, you could have been a meth head, but the oven would still be dirty.
That's the thing.
Right. I saw a really funny tweet from a fan last night. It's like, you know, if wine causes fire, I would have burned down about 30 houses this month.
Right. So, I mean, do you think, I mean, when you watched that, how did you feel when Leon said
that? Shocked. I was shocked because the day he left, I was like, what happened? And nobody told me that he had said that. So I didn't find out that that was even an issue until I watched it with everybody else, with the rest of the world. So I was super surprised that I didn't hear about it before then.
I'm sorry. I would have let you in on that.
You can tell someone's new at working when they are going against wine in a coffee cup in the first place. Like, darling, it's called working in the day. Do you want me to carry around a glass? Because I'd look ridiculous. That's what coffee cups are for.
It's hard as a producer as you watch all this stuff of like, how do you tell the story? Because this went on, Kate. I mean, you could tell how long there was a fire, then there was a line of questioning. So this went on for over a day between the fire and the line of questioning. So how do we as producers like put this together to have it make sense, not falter what the truth is and shrink it down? And that was really hard because it was like, because in my mind, when I was watching the Leon Lee thing, I was like, wait, so is he blaming her for drinking? So that's the fire. Like I was so confused because he was trying to, and then I was like, oh, he's dancing around it. And so, but it's one of those things where you really can't be inaccurate when you're putting it together, because that's actually a big thing. Somebody got fired over it. So it's like, and Lee fired Leon, but it's like, you know, like it could have cost Kate a job. It could have cost someone, you know, had someone else been in there.
Well, what do you do in situations like that? So if you know exactly what happened, and let's say everything turned out wrong and the captain said, oh, you were drinking, you're fired. Here's your Southwest ticket. You're Group C. Bye.
Well,
what would happen?
We can't interfere. If if Lee makes that decision, he's a captain of the boat. If Leon, let's just say, was right, and you know, if pigs have wings, and he was right in that one, but it's like I can't. There's nothing I can interject. You know, there's nothing you could do.
Well, since Leon said that, you know, Leon went up to the captain and said that. I'm so sorry. Was Rocky the one who told him that in the first place? Because she has the story about seeing the coffee cup with the wine and the stuff. So did she go to Leon and tell him, and then he brought it up with the captain?
It wasn't on camera, so that's where we get inconsistencies of a story, because when we're watching footage, because we don't have, and this is not a cop-out, this is the truth, is we only have 3 cameras on the boat at one time, and then a 4th if an assistant cameraman picks up. And only certain rooms of the boat are rigged. That's why Eddie and Laundry would go to the laundry room. Or sorry, Eddie and Rocky would go to the laundry room. Eddie and Laundry. Because there was no cameras there. And so it's not rigged. So, you know, we're lucky if we catch it. But that's also why we didn't really catch, you couldn't catch them hooking up because it wasn't rigged. So there's certain things that happen that you find out through conversation. And it's not a cop out by saying that. That's the absolute truth. If you go through scrub that footage, she never said that to Leon. It's like, you don't know like what was said. Like, we only catch half the conversation, and then you've got to rely on producers listening to their mic saying, wait, what did they say? What did these people say? And it's literally, it is a game of Clue, and it's a lot of CSI, and also trying to back out of what the truth is and saying, okay, this person's lying, this person's not. And so it's a lot of split decisions of like, shit, like I've got to make a decision right now. Who's telling the truth? And it's instincts, a lot of it. Like it's hard, and we were wrong a lot. Like, we could be totally wrong. I mean, in this instance, we weren't, but like, there's been instances where like, shit, we were wrong in that situation.
And also, there was a lot going on that day. Like, a fire alone would have been bad. You know, Rocky jumping off the boat alone would have been bad. Right. Being on charter with these guests would have been a lot of footage. Like, you guys had so much going on that day. I mean, I know I did. I wasn't even having time to react. We were just trying to get through it despite all the craziness.
Right. This season was so much crazier than last season, but was it easier for you with the adjustment because of all that?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think last season I went in thinking this was more of a just documentary. Like, I wanted to show my best blanket fold, but not, you know, not that one per se, but like my best table settings. Like, I thought this was like a glimpse into the profession of yachting. And I kind of realized it's more about the interpersonal reactions between the crew. Yeah. So I didn't spend as much time with like the tiny details of a scavenger hunt that will never really matter.
Just get them drunk. I like when things go bad and Amy's like, I'm going to get them a shot.
Amy is the cutest this season. She is walking around talking to herself the entire time. All right, breakfast success. Yeah. Hello? Hello?
I love a balloon.
Oh, this is just such a great charter. Does anybody hear me?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Hello? It's adorable.
Thank you. Her answer to everything is so sweet. I love it. When the conversation turned to Leon, and Amy said, but honey, you were the one saying that stuff about Leon in the first place. And then it cuts to clips of Rocky saying like, yeah, like he doesn't know how to make a scallop because like a scallop is supposed to be round and then have like a glaze on top and hardness from a shell of a thing. Like, she's going on about a scallop because she's seen Chopped once. And then it cuts back, and then it's just Amy being so nice. I just wanted you to be wonderful because I know you've got it in you, honey.
So I know. Cute. I thought that it was fake in the first season because how can anybody really be like that, because it's so not who I am. Right. But once I realized it's like legit who she is, it's so cute.
Yeah, she's a genuine girl. Let's talk about Eddie and Rocky. Even we felt bad for Rocky at the end there. Do you think that she's like being disrespected as a woman?
No, I feel bad for both of them because I get cabin fever, Rocky's flirtatious, Eddie was having problems, so he kind of rebounded with her. It was fun. And when you're like keeping a secret hookup, it makes it even more exciting and fun. But just like with any hookup, once the new wears off, you're like, oh, I don't actually want to hook up with you anymore.
I know.
I could see why Rocky would be like, hey, what happened? I thought we were having a good time. But I can also see why Eddie was like, this chick's crazy. I'm just going to back away slowly, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's an important lesson I think that America was taught. You don't ignore a crazy person. I think a lot of people maybe are too young to have seen Fatal Attraction, but like the whole reason Glenn Close boiled that bunny in the first place is because he ignored her. He should have just said, you know, sorry, that's it.
Well, there really was no right answer for Eddie at this point. What was he going to do? Say, hey, Rocky, I don't want to have sex with you in the laundry room anymore. That would have been on the show. And at this point, he thought he was going to be able to, like, get away with nobody knowing.
Right.
When Andy said, did you really think you were going to get away with it this whole time? I mean, especially now talking to you both and hearing Nadine talk about how the... how there's a room with all this TV screens and everybody watching every camera and all these people following everybody. What the hell was he thinking? I mean, there were cameras right outside the door. Didn't he see the cameras following them in there? Because didn't they follow them
in
there?
To their credit, they did do a pretty good job of keeping it a secret. I think had it been another girl besides Rocky who didn't like want to, you know, once she was ignored, like throw him under the bus, perhaps he would have gotten away with it. But because it was crazy Rocky, she was like, oh, no, you're not getting away with this. You hurt my feelings. I'm going to tell the world.
Well, I get getting away with it as far as you guys are concerned because you got to sleep sometimes. I mean getting away with it as far as a reality TV crew following you around. Well, like, aren't they going to air that?
They did it in the middle of the night. They did a really good job because Eddie, V, and the bosun, and you know, Kate knows the boat inside and out. Everyone does, actually. But Eddie really knows that boat inside and out. So they also know where the cameras are rigged. So if they see... Listen, I'm not giving tips of how a crew gets away with stuff, but it's literally like if they see a night crew leaving, they Eddie's probably like, listen, there's one guy back there probably not paying attention, and surveillance is rolling. But like, if he's going to the laundry room and somebody's not paying attention to surveillance, you know, they were both in the laundry room at the same time, so that means they're. We're paying attention or we weren't. So,
I see.
Also, it's a unique situation where his bedroom had a direct entrance to the laundry room, you know?
Because he was in a guest suite, wasn't he, Kate?
Yeah, he was in a guest suite because of we just needed the extra space. So that guest suite happened to have a watertight door that went directly to the laundry room.
Oh.
So he could go; they could go in and out without being like in the common areas.
Wasn't she going in through the laundry room and he was going in through his own door? Or were they both going in through? I know this sounds like The Good Wife. I'm so sorry to like cross-examine, curious.
Yeah. And also, so there's two doors to the laundry room. One that went to Eddie's room and another one that was right against the staircase coming down to the crew mess. So they would shut that door and you can hear this is what I've been told, they could hear the footsteps coming down the stairs with the door closed. So they could quickly abort mission.
Oh, okay, that's smart. Because I thought that they caught her going in. I thought the camera saw her going in.
We caught Eddie going in a lot, and all we had was Rocky going back and texting. So if Rocky's in the common area, we would never know that Eddie's going into the laundry room if we're not paying attention. Like, he could be going to the laundry room because he's going to the laundry room. We didn't realize.
Or he was just going out to do work because that was
something.
Right, he went through often. And you know what? This is a unique situation. I think had we used a different yacht for this season, I don't know where they would have done it because not all laundry rooms have that unique double entrance exit layout.
That is so smart. That's so sneaky. I did not know that he had a separate little entrance into that bathroom.
Yeah,
no
like
wonder.
The boat we worked on in the med, and Ronnie, you haven't seen the teaser for the med yet. It's at the end of the reunion. But the boat we worked on for the med only, it's like, it was just a hole. So there's a camera in the laundry room, which there was with them too, but it was just a hole and you could only get in through the crew mess. So like, there's no other entrance. So anybody who walked past it, you knew that they were there, but not.
Well, I think that when you're in anywhere, any different place, I mean, if you're on a plane or whatever, you're always going to find this most secret place. It's not always going to be the bath or the laundry room.
I was going to say, I know that on season 2, Kelly and Janice had some interesting hookup spots, which I never have considered in my yachting career, but I have to give them credit. They would hook up on the sun deck. Okay, on the sun deck, there's like storage on the side that is like 4 feet, no, maybe 3 feet tall and like 3 feet wide, and it runs the perimeter of both sides, and you like store like barbells, yoga mats. They would go in there.
Oh my God. Inside the storage?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's pretty genius, actually.
And actually,
you see, that's good. Yeah, I like it.
The bilge on this boat on Eros, I think that would have been a good spot too. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I
there's snacks down there. I mean, I'd come out with like, my sombrero, eating a Snickers bar, like just having a good time. I think that's where they really messed up. They should have done it in the bilge.
So you said that there is a camera in the laundry room. So was it just not catching it?
The way, I don't know, Kate, you could tell me because I wasn't on that boat. Yeah. The way it was positioned, it was almost through the crew mess. It wasn't in on the other side of it, right? By the stairs.
Yeah, actually, on Ohana, there was one fixed in the upper corner, just the laundry room. But on Eros, the way the boat was, it was too awkward of an angle. So it was like in the corner and I am sure it had the ability to like move and rotate around. It just didn't at those times.
Oh, tricky. That's so funny. Make it, it's like such a big conspiracy theory.
No, there'd be times you're changing in your room and like maybe Connie and I were talking about something that, and then people listening to our mics would like want to hear it. And you know that they're starting to listen to you because the camera in the corner of your room would go, and turn towards you and you're like, oh, hey there.
It's so weird because it's funny. I went and talked to one of the cast members of the med show and I was like, how loud is that camera? And they're like, it's loud. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's like, that's all you could say because at that point as a producer, you feel like such a voyeur and you feel like such a creep when you're like just spying on people. And then that's when you have that thing where you're like, what am I doing with my life?
No. Nadine, I like that it's loud because it kind of gives you a heads up. Don't apologize. It's like a little warning dog. Like, careful, they're listening.
Oh my God.
Some of the funniest things about this show were in the editing. Nadine, do you sit there in the room for all of these edits?
Yes.
I love that because I didn't know you were on this show. And we always talked about how funny the editing is and how it has to be a comic. I love that you threw in little shots of him, of Emil masturbating. I died.
I mean, we had more. We actually took a couple out, but we would die. I mean, the funniest one that nobody's caught, it's not even funny. It was just for a joke for me, was I think it was the episode before. I don't remember what episode it was, but before the fire, we had Leon opening the oven.
Oh. Smokey Robinson.
Yes, Smokey Robinson.
Oh, I caught every little thing and I would text Aaron like, oh, that was amazing. There's no wasted minutes on the footage this season. I could tell a marked difference in the way you guys edit it. It was just so funny and good and nuances.
You'll catch little things that repeat during the season, but you'll catch them right at the beginning because you edit right up till the end of the season, right?
Yeah, there was still – I had to leave. I delivered the whole season up to a rough cut. I'd locked up to the 10th episode, which is where Rocky jumped off, and then the Housewives episode and then the two episodes after that, I got into them – I got them to a good spot, and then the finale I did to a rough cut, and I had to, like, be watching cuts while I was in Greece, but it was a lot of work and I felt bad. I was like, hey guys, cause I had to go shoot the spinoff, but it's a lot of hours. And those editors we have such a strong edit staff and such a strong story staff. And we have the supervising producer, Erin, she's been on since day one of the series and she's all heart. She loves this series so much. And we had a lot of fun. It was just a lot of like, you know, and I think we were really lucky because the cast is great. Like, Kate's hysterical. Like if we're watching something and we're like, okay, this is kind of dragging, what can we do? So we go into the interviews and we'll find something like Kate would have something funny to say about this. And she would. And, or when Ben came on, you know, in episode 10, we're like, okay, maybe there could be a funny Ben comment here, because you always knew if there's a lull in footage, sometimes that's the best opportunity to pull out the comedy because it gets exhausting, as you know. So we just really had fun. And then we had Drunk Steve to kick off the whole series. I mean, Kate, he was the best charter guest in the history of charter guests. I mean, besides Dean, but like Drunk Steve was so funny.
Oh, bless his heart. And you know, he came to Fort Lauderdale and took Captain Lee, Ben and I, and Captain Lee's wife out to dinner. And Ben hadn't met him. So I was like, kind of like preparing him, like, listen, this guy's a little crazy. It might get wild. And let me tell you, he was so calm.
What?
It was like Jekyll and Hyde. I was like, is this Steve? It was like we went to a civilized steakhouse with red wine. It was like almost boring.
Was that really his girlfriend? That's my biggest question.
Actually, when we went to dinner, which was about in May or so,
he said they were still together. Okay. You know, I'm not sure what the definition of girlfriend is for right. them. Right. But that's what they're saying. That's the story, and they're sticking to it.
Oh, God, we tried to reach out to him to be a guest on the Med, and he gracefully declined.
Well, you know, he's been quite generous also. He invited us all out to Acapulco, and I think Captain Lee just got back. He flew out to Mexico Mansion for a week and stayed with Steve. Amazing. He got back like 2 days ago. And Captain Lee really wanted me to go, but it was like $1,000 round trip to go to Acapulco. And I was just like, I would feel like a little like I was working if I was like yes. around. I don't know him that well, but the photos from Captain Lee's trip look amazing. He's been quite the generous host, it seems.
Oh my God.
So we got a couple of questions for you guys on the old Facebook. So this question is, have you met Captain Lee's wife? You know them both, right? You go to dinner with them and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Or go to their house.
They are so darling. I lived in Fort Lauderdale after this season briefly, and they kind of became like my adopted family down there. Like I'd meet them for lunch. They had like my boyfriend at the time and I over for dinner one night. They are just so sweet, and they really are each other's best friends and biggest cheerleaders. And she is such a good sport because Captain Lee in Lauderdale is like larger than life. His license plate on his convertible Mercedes says Captain Lee.
No, it doesn't. Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes, it does. So it rolls does? Around, he rolls around Fort Lauderdale, top down, gold Mercedes. It says yes. CAPTLEE. And people will like risk their lives mid 45 miles an hour to take a photo of Captain Lee in traffic. And in front of a restaurant, everybody wants to come up to Captain Lee. And she is just so patient and such a good sport.
What is her? Yeah, what is her personality like?
She's a Persian. My God, the gold Mercedes.
it's amazing. She is just real giggly, upbeat, smiley, but she's got a little bit of sass to her. Yeah.
Oh, she. Great. Yeah, she. I would think that she'd have to. I love that he drives around like that. That's so funny because he seems like he wouldn't be flashy at all.
See him next time. I have to see it.
No, and he's got like his hand resting on the driver's side window with the gold bracelets and the watch. It's amazing.
Love his gold bracelet. His Florida jewelry. It's so good.
It's so Florida jewelry. And it's just so – he's like a caricature of himself. I think that's why he's such a big fan hit because he's like exactly what you would want a salty captain from Florida yes. to be.
Do you think that he's changed since when you first met him? Like, do you think that he's really like kind of like grown into his role as Captain Lee? Not as cool, but as a person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes and no, I think, because, you know, he didn't really originally sign up to be a cast member. He just happened to be the legit captain of the first yacht they used. And after that season, they were like, hey, you want to keep doing this? You're kind of good at it. Yeah. I think it just made him his inner self blossom. I don't think he's changed. I think he's just come more into his own.
Do you guys know about next season, like who's coming back or not? When do you find out? Like, how does that work? Do you find out right before it starts shooting? How much advance do you guys give them, Nadine?
They don't get to, obviously they talk between cast members, but the way we do it as producers, we don't, because we want to keep it as genuine as possible, we don't let them interact. I mean, obviously, you know, if Kate knows that certain people are coming back, they're going to talk, but otherwise, like, we don't let them see each other till the first day. Like, especially if it's a new cast, like the Med, we really kept everyone sequestered in different hotel rooms, kept them away from each other because we want to keep it as authentic as possible and not have stuff happen off camera because everything that happens, we want it to happen on camera. So it's genuine and we're not like having to go, hey, remember you guys were talking about this off camera?
Could you do it again?
And on that same note, I think to keep it authentic, like they don't let us know if we're invited back till pretty close to the end. I think I had a conversation with one, not Nadine, another producer, and he's like, well, Kate, we want to keep it authentic. Like, it's a show about yachties. We don't want you guys to become, like, reality stars in your mind.
Everybody who's a reality star on TV becomes a reality star. What are you talking about?
I didn't want to point that out, but I don't think I got my contract last year until, like, Christmas Eve, and I flew out, like, less than 2 weeks later.
Oh, so it is really last minute. They're like, okay, that's the cast. Go.
And I don't have anything to do with – the only thing I have to do with is – and obviously I came on out like while these guys were shooting. But, you know, for Med, it's like they have their picks and then we sit in a room and we look at resumes of – real resumes, not reality resumes of like what their yachting experience is. Would they be a good first mate? Would they be a good bosun? Would they be – like or like who are they and how would they fit in the scheme of things? And so – it's really a process of like what's going to make the best boat crew. So they didn't cast Rocky or Sturby last year to say, hey, he's going to be a great person that people are going to hate and he's a liar. But no, like he lied on his resume, you know, and that's a genuine thing. Like Rocky's resume had said that she was a sous chef, and you know, it's we know how that unfolded. So it's not.
Yeah, oh my God.
Culinary school. I mean, I believe that she maybe went to culinary school briefly. I think a lot of her ideas, she probably worked at a restaurant, like a high-end restaurant, and she's like trying to make them her own. I bet there was some restaurant she worked at where they served an oyster with some kind of pink garnish. And so she was like, oh, okay, let me do what that restaurant did, but I don't have that garnish. What's like it? Same with the Oreos. Like,
I think it's all about Chopped. I really do. I think that she's just watched a lot of Chopped, because I know that a lot of people now are like, oh, I'm making eggs. Well, I've got some chocolate sauce, because people are Chopped. They're like, all right, here's some cat poop and some sardines and a blender. And then they expect you to make something delicious. So people think everything's food now. It's like pencil shavings. I'm going to put that in an omelet. No, it's not Chopped. That's why those judges look miserable.
And I'm all about, you know, creative pairings. Like there's this chocolate covered potato chip company in my hometown that I bring to every boat when I start, and people are like, ew, gross, but I'm telling you, it's amazing. So I'm all about like unexpected ingredients, but then other times it just doesn't work. And not to get too deep, but I think it's also like a millennial thing. SNL did this amazing skit on millennials, and it was like watching Rocky. It was like always Instagramming and like, I need a vacation. I really need to go find myself. It's like, you've been here 3 days. I know. So can I just be like the photographer, because I'm really good at Instagram? I think I need a promotion.
Well, and that's what it is. I mean, a lot of people will say, I'm starting like the Housewives, you know, which is all I watch. But like, I'm starting a fashion blog because I was a model one time. We're going to go do a model shoot in front of Saks. And it's like, you're standing in front of Saks and someone's taking a phone picture of you.
That's
not the same.
That's his generation. I have a my brother's a millennial. It's like, that's him. All 100%.
But it's amazing how many people are actually making livings out of like Instagramming their outfits.
The whole thing is just cracking me up. And I loved this season. And of course, I'm sure you're going to be on next season. There definitely is a next season, right, Nadine?
I can't officially confirm or deny that. I would say we had our best. We had our series high, like we had the most watched episode of the history of Below Deck with our finale. So I would say a pretty good sign.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. 2.3.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's crazy. We're actually, we are the most, from what I've heard, don't quote me on this, we're the most watched series on Bravo that's not a Housewives or Housewives franchise.
Whoa.
Which also makes me kind of nauseous. It's like, oh, yay, 2.3 million people saw me freaking out and overworked. Yay.
But doesn't that just give you such strength? Because you take shit online. I mean.
Yeah, I do.
What is that like? Does that really toughen your skin?
Oh, completely. But also, I get some great comments, and I also realize not to take those too seriously either. But it cracks me up. Like when I'll talk to my dad, and I'll be like, Kate, I saw what this person said. I'm like, listen, just stop reading it. Just don't read it, Dad.
Get so protective, and parents don't understand, because they just will see somebody getting bashed and they're like, that's my kid. I have to protect them. And you're like, no, it's some troll living in a basement in his, you know, mom's garage. Like,
yeah.
And Kate, you're doing some writing, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I was with Trident, and much to the dismay of my agent, who says I should hold off, I've decided to go ahead and publish on Amazon Kindle next week or the week after.
That's amazing.
Cool.
It's a novel. It's about travel and yachting, and it's funny. It's just like my sense of humor telling some stories. It's not really fiction, but we're calling it that.
You're fictionalized.
Yeah. To protect the names of the innocent.
Exactly.
And not the innocent. Because it's like kind of like a Nanny Diaries vibe, where like I tell some of the horror stories from like the billionaires that I've worked with who actually do exist in the world.
What's the worst story you've ever had on a yacht, or not just working with them?
Well, the heir to what in my book I call Club 45, he pretty much molested me on the beach in St. Barts. And it was like in front of like Betsy Johnson and Owen Wilson is playing Frisbee. And this guy is like following me into the ocean. It was like my second day working on the yacht. It was my second yacht I ever worked on, and you just kind of don't know where the line blurs. And then I ended up having to serve him and his wife and his kids for the entire summer in the Mediterranean. And he acted like he didn't even know me. When I'm like, remember that time we were on Shell Beach and you're like trying to convince me to go to a villa with you? in front of George Clooney. It was pretty wild. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like gross. People think when they're on a yacht that they're in illegal waters or international waters, so there's no law. Right. So like you think anything goes.
Yeah, and they also think they can still get here, okay?
Yeah,
but they think because they're paying for the service and it's so much money that they could do whatever the fuck they want.
Gross.
Yeah.
Have you been flying yet, Kate? Have you started flying?
Oh, thanks for asking. No, my first trip is December 21st, and I'm so excited.
Where are you going?
I'm going to either Anguilla, St. Kitts, or Trinidad. I'm started to work for a private jet company based out of Bermuda, which is great because it's like double the money, half the work, because the guests have to get off the plane.
Do you have to ask certain certifications for that with flying then?
Apparently not.
Oh my God. Maybe that's right.
Yeah. Which is great.
They're like, you'll do. Yeah. We like you on TV. You're a good cheese stew.
That is exactly what happened. A pilot came up to me in Lauderdale and was like, hey, I thought you just wanted like a selfie or something. He's like, I am a fan, but really, because I've seen you on the show, I want you to come work for our jet company.
I love it.
Well, I think you just proved that you're not becoming a reality star in your head. No, I love that because you're still promoting actual jobs. Yeah. You haven't come out with a line of, you know, scented magnets.
Yeah, foldable blankets. But I mean,
foldable blankets.
Thinking about it, I mean, it's pretty much like it's a piece of fabric, pretty easy. But
wrinkle-free flat sheets.
Yeah. Oh no, I love ironing. But jets is just a job I couldn't turn down. It's like such good money to do nothing because the people on the jets are really just traveling. They're not like. That's not their destination. So they're just going to like be reading a magazine. I'm like hanging out.
Is there anything that you guys feel was misrepresented this season that could use a little clarity outside of Bravs?
No, I think it was really well and fairly edited. And I've told Nadine this. They did a really good job of, you know, showing every cast member in a very fair light and giving everybody their moment. Like you even felt bad for Rocky at some point.
I did. I mean, by the end... Look, I'm always the one, it could be Hitler. Well, she's nothing like that anyway. Yeah. She's not mean, but like it could be a huge villain. And if somebody is mean to them or I feel like everybody gangs up, I'll automatically be nice. Like it doesn't matter what they do. They could have stomped on a puppy's head in the beginning and be like, but everybody was mean to him. Because I understand how she's led by the feeling part. Like when the captain says, here's the thing, you haven't taken responsibility for one thing you did this entire season. He did it. She did it. She did it. Amy's still apologizing to Starfish. Where's your apology? And she's like, but it was hard. Like you have to understand that it was hard and like Kate was mean, and then, like, Leon was mean, and then I just, like, it was hard. That's what I mean!
You kind of appreciate her as, like, the martyr, because she was so good for the show. So you appreciate that.
No matter what show you're watching, even if it's, I don't know, something on E!, you know, like a Kardashian thing, which is why I can't watch them, by the way, because I want to feel nothing for those bitches. But when you watch something enough, you get to know people after a while, you know, and you just start accepting them for who they are.
Like Scott Disick, oh, you were like blackout drunk while your mom's at home with the babies. But you know what? That's just Scott.
That's Scott. That's just how he do. Oh, Scott. I can't watch that show because I can't feel for those people. I've seen a lot of it and I'm just like, ah, your fault. I mean, they could be hit by a train and I'd be like, it's your fault. Something could fly out of the sky. I would not blame the sky.
Just because the season's over doesn't mean you can't talk to us more, Starfish.
Do you watch any TV shows?
I love Housewives of Beverly Hills. I love Housewives of New York.
OMG, did you watch the Uncensored the other day?
I sure did. Hills? Yeah, I did.
So good.
And I especially liked watching the Uncensored version now that I know how reality television is made. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. I loved seeing the producer parts of it. I was so fascinated by all of the producer interviews. Well, that was really hard on us that day when Kim was wasted. I was like, oh, my God, I love it. You can play the victim after doing that with Kim Richards. I love you guys. And I mean that with a hug, Nadine Rajab Jab.
I know.
Do you know what I have to say, Nadine? You're one of the legit nicest people. You are such a genuine, sweet person.
Thank you.
That now that I've watched Unreal and this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Uncensored, I'm like, how is she doing so well? Because you do really well.
That's exactly what it's like. She is so nice. It's like, have you made it so far?
I can't. The thing is, I can't go to sleep unless I feel like I've done like somebody, like if I do somebody wrong, like I can't go to sleep at night. So like I will, if someone's even the worst villain or someone's the most fucked up, I will always in interview go, hey, listen, you really fucked up. How do you want to answer to this? And I give them an opportunity to be self-aware, apologize, or just own up to whatever it is. And
because, oh, that's good. So people aren't stoned in the street after one of your shows.
No, and I don't
of reality television. She's like the vigilante making it right.
That's what it sounds like, Nadine, because I've never heard of that. And I know a lot because I have Lifetime and Bravo. So, I mean, I don't know what you're doing in the day. But I definitely, after I watch that show, I thought, I wonder if Nadine has an evil streak. Because, I mean, I've been a waiter forever, so I can be very nice and charming if I don't, you know, if I need to. But then underneath, I'm like, you're an idiot. I'm like, was she always thinking that?
I do think a lot of things, but I can't obviously, I have to be fair and unjust. And listen, there's other producers, there's a network that gets involved, and I always, and I know with Below Deck, we always try to tell the right story. I've been on shows where they haven't, and that's where I get upset, or I definitely speak up until I can't say anything else, and at that point, it's out of my hands, and I won't, like, throw anybody under the bus, because I'm just, my name is on it, too, but those are the shows that I feel really bad about, but, like, I'm lucky enough, thank God, to where I am now, where I'm like, I have a big enough, I'm short enough and I have a loud enough voice that people listen to me, thank God. But it's hard. I can't go to sleep at night if I, like, dude, I threw that person under the bus and they didn't deserve it. Like that there's a show that I can't talk about that I still feel bad about something that was out of my hands and I still feel bad about it.
Well, and also I think you're obviously very smart. It's almost like, how can I think my way out of, like, making this person look bad? Like, I can find it. Way to fix
find the
this.
Good in them. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And still try to redeem them. So if somebody fucks up, I'll try to find something humanizing about them to, I mean, not that's unjust. If there's nothing humanizing about them, you can't show that. If the person.
So sucks, basically what you're saying is, I loved your salad.
Yes.
Kind of. Delicious. But I'm also not trying to, like, climb on people. Like, I started off as a stand up and a writer, and I was doing radio, and Ronnie and I ran a blog. It was like, I was just a fan of reality, and I literally fell into it, which is a whole story for another podcast, like out of nowhere. And I was like, I just took it as a job, and I end up being, like, randomly good at it. And so then in Bravo, like, you know, I helped clean up a show and they never let me go. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, I'm like, how did I become a producer? This is so weird. I had a really great career as a comic. Like, I didn't, like, become a producer because I didn't have another career.
I think there would be more comics doing it if they understood kind of what it was.
It's really creative what we do. It's really
creative. I remember when you were telling me, when you got your first gig and you were kind of telling me about what all the jobs were, because we worked at Buena Murray, like, we should know. It's a huge production, but we weren't there every day and stuff. We didn't see all the backstage stuff.
No.
And when you told me how it worked and how it's just all this raw footage, and then it is all in the editing. And when you start editing, you learn how much humor and stuff just comes from the timing and the editing. And I think there would be a lot more comics doing it if they understood that they were really creating.
I wish there were, because you can tell the difference in Below Deck with the nuances. It's been great. I forgot what I was going to say. Kate. Oh, by the way, so are you so busy being a producer, an amazing producer that you fell into, that you're not doing stand-up lately? Or are you doing it again anytime
soon? No, I am. I'm going to be I'm putting together a new half hour, and my goal is to try to get my hour together so I could shoot a special by the end of the year. So that is my goal for next year, so I can get a new special. But yes, I'm hitting – I just got back from Greece 2 weeks ago, or 2.5 weeks ago actually now, and so I have a couple shows booked in December and January, and then I'm going to hit the ground running on my days that I can get off work early. I'm lucky enough that I have the Improv, which is a really big comedy club that's in LA that I could just get up any night, and they're really supportive of me. And I just pop in and say, hey, I'm going to do a set or work out material, and they're awesome. So I'm working on a lot of stuff. I actually want to kind of bring in, I used to talk about my family a lot. I kind of want to talk about being a producer now, because I think that there is comedy in that, and especially with Unreal, and also a lot of people watch Bravo. Like, I want to talk about what I do as a job, because there's so much comedy in it without using names, obviously.
And yeah. I think that's what good comedy is, talking about what you know, you take from your own life.
Yep, totally. And comedy is pain as well. So, but I think.
And it's best when it's other people's, isn't it?
Exactly.
In 140 characters on Twitter.
You but guys, yeah, this was the best chill Thanksgiving ever. And I want to say, Nadine and Kate, it has been an amazing Thanksgiving because we learned that there's like a reality show producer with a heart. What a way to end a Bravo podcast.
And Kate's book coming out, which I'm very excited about.
Kate, you have to, will you read a chapter of your audiobook so we can put it up in our podcast one day?
Oh, I yeah, do I'll a, choose the juiciest bit for sure.
Do I'll it. I want to do a Crappens book club.
Oh, I love it. Watch out, Oprah.
You guys, thank you so much. And thank you for producing such a great season.
God bless us, everyone.
Yes.